I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of
everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, tonight's show will not only be jam-packed with information, but we're going to be covering some topics that, well, a couple of them are probably not going to be heard anywhere else on radio. And we're going to get into the connection between belief and aging. We're going to get into monatomic elements, which is a taboo subject that nobody talks about. And we'll be getting into what they are and why nobody talks about them. And then we're going to top it off by getting into who created the pyramids, how exactly they were built, and what they were used for. But before we get into all of that, I'd like to kick off the program in the usual manner by having a little bit of japa yoga or mantra repetition. And it's a powerful technique, and I like to start the program off with this because it sets the tone for the rest of the program. And this mantra repetition will be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om.
that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, one of my spiritual teachers, and that was a clip from back in the 1970s. I'd like to take this opportunity to give my thanks, gratitude, and appreciation to the ET Yoga listening audience just for being you and making a difference on this planet just by being you. And I'd also like to extend an invitation for you to contact me at paperfungo, P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. That's paperfungo, P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, at yahoo.ca. And I'm definitely most interested in your suggestions concerning program content. And also, I'm also available to answer any questions that you may have concerning topics that are brought up on ET Yoga. And it's a free service, no strings attached. All you need to do is contact me and ask your questions. I'll do my best to answer them. And as well, nothing makes my day more than hearing about your successes, utilizing ideas, concepts, or techniques that you hear on ET Yoga. I'd like to now give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And for those that are new to ET Yoga, you should know that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical, big pharma, mainstream media, and technology to the best of your ability given your particular circumstances. And I've been given this statement for over 10 years, long before the current crises that have come about, but I think you can see the obvious reasons why many of them are so. The technology one seems to be less obvious, but technology does lower your frequency, and it's also, there's an AI takeover of this planet happening as we speak. So, you know, the less you take part in technology, the slower that's going to happen. Okay, let's get into the main topics for tonight's program. And the first area is going to be a connection between attitudes about aging. And a radical experiment tried to make old people young again, and the results were astonishing. The experiment was done by Harvard psychologist Ellen Langer, that's L-A-N-G-E-R. It is called the counterclockwise study. And according to her, we would recreate the world of 1959 and ask subjects to live as though it were that year, based on the theory that wherever you put your mind, you necessarily are putting the body. And eight men in their 70s stepped out of a van in front of a converted monastery in New Hampshire. And they shuffled forward. A few of them arthritically stooped, a couple with canes. And then they passed through the door and entered a time warp. And Perry Como crooning a vintage radio. Ed Sullivan welcome guests on a black and white TV. Everything inside, including books on the shelves and the magazines lying around, were designed to conjure up a 1959 environment. and they were instructed to behave as if it were 1959, while the control group lived a similar environment, but they weren't asked to act as if it was, you know, decades ago. And they discover history and events as if they were current news. And no photos except portraits of their much younger selves. And only a week later, both the control group and the experimental group showed improvements in physical strength, manual dexterity, gait, posture, perception, memory, cognition, taste sensitivity, hearing, and vision. And according to Langer's account, most of these improvements were made more significant in the group that were told to live as if it were actually 1959. And a full 63% of them have better intelligence on test scores at the end of the experiments. On the last day of the study, when it seemed those same people who seemed so frail just days before ended up playing an impromptu touch football game on the front lawn. And Langer says, when you behave, that something will affect you in a particular way, it often does. And that's why placebo controls are baked into every rigorous clinical trial that they did. And your own expectations and the expectations of others are powerful. And expectations of the declining cognitive and physical abilities that come with age are pervasive. And time permitting, I'll also go into another study that was done with a different group. But I think the point here is how powerful the mind is and its amazing connection, and also connects with the ET yoga concepts of what you believe is. And I also heard about another amazing military study, actually, that was done with 10 people in the military at a military hospital. This was years and years ago. I think I brought this up on ET yoga as well. And there were 10 men who were scheduled for knee surgery, and they actually only operated on 5 of them. And 5 of them, basically, they went through the motions, the same exact motions as the other guys that they actually performed the operations on. And at the end of it all, the 5 that weren't operated on functioned as well as the ones that were operated on. And with a little bit of research, you can probably find that on the Internet. And so we have these amazing connections concerning our belief and our expectations and why placebo effect is so popular. And one of the things that I like to bring up on ET Yoga is that placebo is not only in the field of medicine, it's also in everything you do. So it's in all walks of life. And amazing things can be accomplished through beliefs. Now I'd like to move on to what I consider is a very taboo subject. And the reason I say that is that everywhere I go in circles and I give talks, for the most part, people might have vaguely heard about monatomic elements, but if you asked them what they were, they couldn't tell you. And nobody really talks about it, and it's really interesting that in point of fact, when the Anunnaki were manipulating our thinking and manipulating our DNA, and early humans were used to mine gold, the humans were never told why they were mining the gold. There was an assumption that, you know, gold had value, but the real value of gold is when you melt it down and it becomes the white powder. Because the Anunnaki were using the white powder as a key to their longevity. And they lived for thousands of years. And unlike the humans that were basically had ingrained into their consciousness, the idea or like in the aging effect, that we only had like 100 years maximum to live. And it gives a huge edge to a species that's trying to control you when they have such long lifespans. But what are monatomic elements? Well, they're high-spin electrons that work as superconductors between dimensions. And they are the elixir of life. They're the philosopher's stone, or the white powder gold. And this is the secret the Anunnaki did not want humans to know about. And even though humans were mining gold for the Anunnaki, the human race was told it was for something else. Oh, you know, it was used to fix the environment of their planet or anything to keep the secret. And it was the secret that keeps the Anunnaki healthy and gives them their longevity. And in my opinion, the greatest discovery, or more accurately, rediscovery, in the history of the world is the discovery of monatomic elements. And it was rediscovered by David Hudson. And his lectures, 1, 2, and 3, are still on the Internet. And this white powder gold was known as the manna in biblical times. And hardly anyone I speak to knows this, so I assume it's somehow a taboo in the Matrix to discuss this. I mean, because what does it do in the body? Well, it literally corrects the DNA by a process, the equivalent of a denaturing solution. The DNA relaxes and recombines corrected. So all diseases that originate with a problem with your DNA can be corrected. And what happens when the DNA becomes in their elements, or it becomes pinned with the carcinogens that are in our systems? Well, now the light cannot flow in that area. And now, curiously enough, the aura also collapses in that area because the aura is the Meissner field of the superconductor. So when the light current and cannot flow in that area, you get resistance and you get heat buildup and you get energy buildup, and it's like a rock in the stream, and the cells begin to divide way too fast. And when you put these elements into the cancer correctly, then the resonance connection can establish itself where the rock used to be, and the rock dissolves away because the light begins to correct the DNA again, and that's how it cures cancer. And turns out over 5% of the dry weight of the brain is rhodium and iridium, and almost nobody knows this because it can't be directly measured. And there was also a Dr. Budwig back in the late 40s, I think it was, who became famous for curing cancers. And eventually she got run off out of the country to Europe. And she had a formula, which was cottage cheese, cayenne pepper, and flaxseed oil. And it turns out that flax seeds contain rhodium and iridium. So here's your monatomics in the flaxseed oil. And some of the natural ways to obtain monatomic elements are they're in aloe vera. The plant actually was given to us by the Pleiadians. And aloe vera, what you do is you basically take a leaf. I believe they're called leaves, although they don't look like leaves so much. They look like celery. You cut in them and squeeze the juice out, and then it tastes terrible. So I like to mix the juice with honey. It goes down really smooth then. and Welch's grape juice apparently was their grapes were grown in some sort of fields that had a lot of the monatomics in it. Green vegetables contain monatomics, as do almond seeds. I mentioned the flaxseed oil, carrots, eggplant, any plant that's purple is going to have high monatomic levels in it, and sea salts. And these elements were in the first matter called prima matra. And this is also called ORMES, O-R-M-E-S, or orbitally rearranged monatomic elements. And David Hudson has also made multiple connections with monatomics and the Tree of Life, the Egyptian Book of the Dead, alchemy, superconductivity, the Ark of the Covenant, and the works of Lawrence Gardner. And this single discovery has huge and potentially revolutionary implications. If you really think, start putting the dots together, and why this is a taboo subject and nobody's, you don't see it discussed anywhere, is because humanity has within its grasp a potential cure for cancer. Well, what do you think they're going to let you? They're going to let you come out with a cure for their big cash cow, so the medical establishment can't make their money. And it's a cure without drugs, so you could skip the big pharma. And it's just has amazing other potentials. An environmentally friendly alternative to fossil fuels, a means to transform human consciousness, the possibility of low to zero gravity flight, space travel by manipulation of space-time, and access to other dimensions, which scientists have now proved to be real, not to mention the implications for longevity. And if you think, you can only imagine what a problem it is right now. They have the free energy right now on the planet. They have the devices, but they can't get them to be used very much because it's against what the powers that be want. And it does cause issues, especially if you want to maintain a dependency on oil or you're not really interested in the health of the population. In fact, they're not only not interested in their health, they're trying to cut the population down about 90%. So they're not interested in your longevity, okay? And according to Gardner, some remarkable tests were conducted by the Alpha Learning Institute at the World Trade Center in Lugano. And 10 test subjects in only 1 week demonstrated significant enhancement of alpha waves, alpha brain waves, leading to perfect hemispheric left and right brain synchronization. And the results were both immediate and cumulative. And if you are familiar with the name of Thoth, T-H-O-T-H, he's warned that taking too much of the substance can actually lead to a burning out of the higher light body. So he actually suggests a 16th of a teaspoon and dilute in 1 quart of pure water, and then you refrigerate it and take 2 to 3 ounces of the substance once or twice a day. So, you know, I don't want to bring something up on the show and then have people go out there and go hog wild. You need to heed the words of Thoth there. And ancient scholars actually and literature says that the white powder of gold affects the seventh seal or the pineal gland. And Hudson's white powder is the same as that found in the pyramids. And that's going to be the next subject here on tonight's program. And it is known for restoration of youth and vitality, and opening of the third eye opens the gateway to the next dimension, allows for instant manifestation of thought, lifts the veil from prior lives, and offers extraordinary knowingness. And also is a factor in enabling for ascension. And clearly the Egyptians knew about this. It was called Mufkets in their language, M-F-K-T. And you can find places where they do sell the substance. Of course, the likelihood that you could actually test for its authenticity, I mean, it takes special equipment that Hudson had to even identify this. Why people couldn't identify it in the brain, because it's not even measurable. So I would offer some caution there as well. You're going to have to trust the source of the information. And there are also ways that you can go about trying to make your own. I'm not going to go into that tonight, but somewhere in the archives of ET Yoga, I did do a show where I mentioned how to make white powder gold, which is basically, in alchemy, the philosopher's stone. It's not really a stone at all. When you end up with making it, it actually, you end up making something that looks like feta cheese. And the feta cheese contains this. And in the old days, actually, the philosopher's stone, the original gypsies, knew how to make this. Some of these people, and gypsies are connected with Egypt, you know, Egypt and the gypsies are connected, as well as they were connected from Atlantis. There were people that made the transference from Atlantis to Egypt, Thoth being one of them, Thoth being one of the chief people that knew about Prima Matra and knew about the white powder gold. And, you know, if our society was really run by people who were interested in the best for the people, obviously this wouldn't be a taboo subject and so little known about it. And also, this white powder is also found in some of the Egyptian tombs or nearby. And even, by the way, the underground, under the mountain in the rock Sphinx over in Romania, actually in Buzeci, Romania. And I've been there. I've taken the cable ride up to the Romanian Sphinx. You don't get to go to the underground base. That's protected by U.S. military over there. They did find quantities of white powder gold in that base as well, because if you look at the furniture and things in there, it's obviously made for giants. And these giant Anunnaki, because it's an Anunnaki underground base in that mountain, and that's been cross-referenced by multiple sources. There's about six books written on the subject. I've read three of them. First was Transylvania Sunrise. The other next was Transylvania Moonrise. And there's also a book about the, I think it's called something like The Tales of Egypt. And it the whole book talks about, from this Buzeci base, actually, there's a tunnel structure that goes to the inner earth, also goes to Tibet, goes to Iraq, and also goes to the Giza Plateau in Egypt. So it's a fascinating subject. The initial find of this in Romania, the Romanians actually wanted to make it public, but the Catholic Church and powers that be from the U.S. Put the lid on it. And Some of the truth leaks out in these books. As long as, you know, not too many people know about it, it's no big deal. It's kind of like everything else. But definitely there is an ET base there in underneath the mountains there. And now that topic certainly connects with the pyramids. And for the best information on that, well, I can point you in the first direction, which is Greg Braden. And I'm sure you know about Greg Braden. Well, he's got a new video out, actually, about the pyramids and making some. He's on the right track. He just doesn't know about enough. He doesn't know more than the Tibetan Palladians, but he's on the right track. And what they have actually proven scientifically in the last few years is that some of the limestone used in the pyramids was actually liquefied and turned into molds that were used to form some of the rock formation. And the other thing that is interesting about that, they've been studying the Sphinx, and according to the most latest findings, they're putting together the fact that the erosion that's taken place on the Sphinx, which originally was passed off as being like wind erosion, was not. It's a different type of erosion, and they've proven that it came from flooding. And there wasn't a flood there except about 12,000 years ago. So there's a group of scientists now that are in the camp of the real truth, which the Palladians have said for the last 10 years, that Egypt's at least 5,000 years older than where historians and history is telling you, because there's reasons why they want to keep that secret. So there's another group that's fighting this, the kind of the status quo, because it violates their story, the BS story that they're putting out about history. And the truth is that most of history is wrong. The myths are mostly true. But we've been fed a line of garbage about history, like that's to the point where it's ridiculous. And according to the Tibetan Palladians, the pyramids are 100% of stellar construction. So these are not made by the early Egyptians. They weren't even made by slaves either. They are not from the indigenous population. They predate the very Egyptian culture and were built by a conglomerate of cooperative races of the Federation, or the Galactic Federation, as generators of free energy and potentializers of consciousness for travel without a ship. And they are energy power plants at a planetary level. In the age of construction, they were built right after the flood as the matrix was being installed. And according to the Tibetan Palladians, or if you've been listening to ET Yoga, you know that we live in a simulation. We basically live in a holographic 3D simulation that's been superimposed on a 5D background. So there's a real holographic universe, and then there's this 3D matrix, which is its own hologram. And this was installed by Palladians at the end of this galactic war, basically to trap the Alpha Draconians and keep them in this sector of space. And um, this age of construction, so it dates it at roughly 12,500 years, and right after the flood, and this was confirmed now by science, that the erosion from the Sphinx could have only taken place during the flood. So it was already built before. And also held the purpose of distributing worldwide the frequency that the moon was transmitting. And the Sphinx, according to the Tibetan Pleiadians, is like 30,000 years old. So it completely blows the lid off, you know, the historical BS story we're told. Now, the main builder was Thoth, T-H-O-T-H. And they were built in a way that nobody considers today, but they do now because Greg Braden and his, and some connections he has of scientists, archaeologists, and apparently Greg Braden's early training was in archaeology. And nobody considers today, which is the anti-gravity levitation of some stones. Now, he doesn't get into that, because he's not aware of that. He's kind of thinking that the main building technique was the liquefaction of limestone. But the anti-gravity levitation of some stones, assisted by cranes, which according to the Tibetans are still there, that is the basis of the anchors and where the huge cables and pulleys passed. And this in the great chamber of the Pyramid of Cheops. Okay, they were built with several methods, not just one. They mobilized quarry limestone found further south. They were cut with energy tools, which were basically industrial lasers and compressed sound saws. And the stones were then levitated into place using anti-gravity and also sound. Sonic levitation is a system that is widely used in ancient construction, including those in Peru, among other places. A large external ramp was not used, as many suggest, since the construction of said ramp exceeds that of the pyramid itself. That is illogical. But spiraling ramps were used within the same pyramid, ramps that are still there because there are still hollow places, and they are the ramps. Liquid stone, that is liquefied with sound, was used as a means of filling and holding or gluing between the stones and the structures. Liquid stones for the external ones, they were put into place with the use of molds. So Greg Braden's connections in science, they were at least correct about that some of the limestone was liquefied, and they used molds. So one of the people talking to Swaru, who is a Pleiadian, her name is Gosha, and Gosha says, well, let's talk about the function of the pyramids. And Swaru says, yes, electricity, and to send power, electricity, all over the earth, no matter where you are, but also to stabilize the frequency of the entire planet. Make it even more positive with an inverse manner than the moon does now. And these are pyramids are all over the earth. They're placed at ley line locations all over the world. And most are in China. It's all part of the same system. You could be anywhere on earth back then and you would have wireless power with this system. And there's a concept that I've never heard anybody talk up or bring up. Pyramids generate more energy than 50 nuclear power plants. The function of free energy generators and others is not the primary function of the pyramid. That's the secondary function. It is a stargate. I'm going to repeat that. Four big words. It is a stargate. But it is not a portal, although it can be. That is something else. It is a mechanism that allows you to travel. Like I told you, like a warp ship engine in reverse. It is a place that potentiates the psychic, mental, and natural astral travel energy of each person. This energy flow, pure positronic energy of exact frequency, compatible as constructive interference within the human aura and psychic energy, in contrast to Wi-Fi and invasive microwave electromagnetism, which is frequently destructive to the human aura and human psychic energy. So you go in there when it is working, and even as it is now, and you can leave your body, you travel wherever. Yes, there are channels or small tunnels to focus on traveling to Sirius, among other places, leaving the material body and being free in the astral through the universe. So, you know, the primary function is more about this, even though electricity was the secondary function. And it was used as amplifiers of consciousness, where someone entered, leaving their body there in the king's chamber, and with that they traveled, astral projecting wherever they wanted to go. Outside of time and space, they could return to the pyramid a couple of hours later. But for them, it could have been days, weeks, months, or years of travel experience. Again, they tell you all in the Hollywood 1997 film Contact with Jodie Foster, was created, in which plans arrive from deep space to create an incredibly expansive, large machine which is believed to have many complicated functions such as a portal or a means of transport. And in the end, that great colossal machine is only to give a mystical experience to whoever makes it work. And you can see there how society discredits that experience, and in the end it becomes worthless. And that's what pyramids are to most people. You know, they're worthless. The true purpose of the Great Pyramids is to augment the potential of everyone who is inside them for interstellar travel as well. Astral flight with or without the physical body remains the same. The transmutation of personal energy of the self into another dimension with all intention of doing it or achieving it. Yes, it can be done without a pyramid because you are an energetic Taurus, and an energetic Taurus is a Merkaba, which uses two interlocking pyramids. And you already are the pyramid. Now, this connects with a couple of ideas. First idea that it connects to is the use of Egyptian healing rods, and where did the Egyptian healing rods were discovered by the Russians, and the Egyptian rods were only used by the pharaohs or the inner circle. They weren't available to the public. And these are forged in pyramids, and the crystals inside the rods, which are made of copper and zinc, these are forged in pyramids, and holding the rods is like being inside a pyramid every day, and that's why they're so successful, because anything that exists inside a pyramid, it's good for whatever's inside it. It can be seeds, it can be you, it can be anything, but that's why I highly recommend Egyptian healing rods, because you don't have to, you know, go all the way to Egypt to be inside a pyramid. Not only that, but they're talking here about a Merkaba. And if you don't know what a Merkaba vehicle is, it's two interlocking pyramids. And you can visualize this. You can go on the net and actually see a 3D one in motion because they're counter-rotating tetrahedrons that one is intertwined within the other. And it's hard to describe on radio, which is why I suggest you need to look this up on the internet. And as it turns out, according to the Tibetan Pleiadians, under the pyramid on the physical side, so you got the pyramid that you can see, but there's another pyramid that's energetically intertwined with the one you can see. So, in effect, what the giant pyramid is a Merkaba. And that's why it makes sense that when you go inside this Merkaba, you can do astral traveling and go wherever you want, if you know how to do it. Now, so basically, in point of fact, how this thing works is two counter-rotating tetrahedrons. Now, is it true that visualizing yourself in this Merkaba is a vehicle for interdimensional travel? That's the question. And Swaru, the Tibetan Pleiadian, says, visualizing yourself in this Merkaba is activating an intention. Yes, it works. That's how it works. And I'm going to repeat this again. This last sentence. Swaru says, visualizing yourself in this Merkaba is activating an intention. Yes, it works. That's how it works. So, what we really got here is amazing, amazing information. Okay. If you have the consciousness to connect with it. So happens, I also know a Merkaba meditation technique. And the technique that I was taught is that first you spend some time visualizing yourself inside a Merkaba because you already exist inside a Merkaba. You just need to feel it. And then when you've seen the tetrahedrons or pyramids and how they intersect with each other, what happens is you get a similar effect to the yantra that's used in Indian philosophy. Yantra visual shape, and the Hari Om actually is a Merkaba, but in a yantra form. So when you meditate, it's basically two intersecting tetrahedrons. So what you visualize is once you kind of get in and get a feel for feeling the energy that you're inside of a Merkaba and intending to travel or go to where you intend, you visualize yourself inside two counter-rotating tetrahedrons. And you first say to yourself, I effortlessly intend that these two counter-rotating tetrahedrons rotate in a balanced way, because they actually rotate at different speeds, but in a balanced way at half the speed of light. And then you say to yourself, I now intend that these counter-rotating tetrahedrons rotate in a balanced way at 60% the speed of light. And then 70% the speed of light. then 80% the speed of light, 90% the speed of light, 99% the speed of light, and their last intention is that I now visualize my kata rotating, tetrahedrons are rotating in a balanced way faster than the speed of light. And poof, that's the ticket, and that's the meditation. And you can go online and look about a number of people are talking about Merkabas. And actually, in one years ago, this Ashiana Dean and Melchizedek got in a big argument on the internet. And I personally take Melchizedek's side on this because, in my opinion, a lot of Ashiana Dean's information is disinformation mixed with a lot of truth, but I just don't have any connection with her stuff at all. But my point being is that you don't need to go to Egypt. You don't need to go inside a pyramid. You can do the Merkaba technique, and that's how it's done. And that's directly from Tibetan Pleiadians. So, and they're actually saying that the Sphinx itself, the Tibetans say, is probably 35,000 years old. And what's important here, I think, is that this whole concept of visualizing yourself inside a Merkaba. And obviously, they also, the Egyptians were very much into the white powder gold as well. And the Egyptian Book of the Dead actually gets into the belief that the Egyptians had that this white powder assisted in freeing the person to go through the dimensions after the death process. A whole new subject. If you want to go in the archives of ET Yoga, and by the way, you can access the archives, just go to BBS Radio, ET Yoga, and you hit that page, you scroll down until you come to the archives, hit the archive button, and you go back a few months, and you'll see that I did about 3 shows on information about death, because I learned so much about death in the last couple of years that I had to put the information out there. Everything you really need to know about the dying process. So it's about that time now where I wish my listening audience my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health and abundance, and success with the Merkaba technique, by the way. And if you have success, don't forget to email me at paperfungo, P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, @yahoo.ca. And in closing, I share with you the Who Am I technique, where you put your full consciousness in the center of your forehead, ask the question, who am I? Do that once or twice, whatever is comfortable. And the main thing is, put all of your attention, become that spot in the center of your forehead, and then you state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all things.